This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It was a Supreme Court day today, and they came out with what were arguably the two most awaited rulings, one combining two cases on gerrymandering and one on the citizenship question in the U.S. Census. Here in the studio to talk about these rulings is retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, who's now a lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Welcome back, Judge Gertner.
Good to be here.
Also joining us from Washington, D.C. is WBUR senior news correspondent Kimberly Atkins. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Judge Gertner, what is the headline across these two rulings?
I like to call it the judicial duck. So in the gerrymandering case, the judges ducked, five judges ducked by saying that this was not, as we say, a justiciable question. In other words, not the kind of question that courts should deal with, which is sort of one way of sort of getting out of the entire discussion, leaving it then for, interestingly enough, state legislatures, which are gerrymandered to cure the problem. The citizenship question was a remand. That means returning it back to the Commerce Department for the purposes of coming up with a rationale that was not a pretextual, not a phony rationale, which will delay it and could well mean that the citizenship question won't be in the census.
Okay, so that's really helpful. So they sort of ducked on both of them.
Right.
Let's go one at a time and break the cases down now. So let's start with gerrymandering. As you said, the court ruled that partisan redistricting is a political question, and my new favorite word,
justiciable.
Justiciable, meaning that
right
they can.
Rolls right off your tongue, right.
It just doesn't.
Right.
So the court can't decide on whether the extreme gerrymandering violates the Constitution, which means it's left up to the states. But Justice Elena Kagan read at length from her dissent because she didn't like that.
She was mad.
Yeah. So she said, quote, "For the first time ever, this court refuses to remedy a constitutional violation because it thinks the task beyond judicial capabilities." Later, she said, "I think it important to underscore that fact. The majority disputes none of what I have said or will say about how gerrymanders undermine democracy," end of quote. So can we rely on politics to handle a problem that politics caused? And let me ask that to Kimberly real quick.
Yeah, that's the big question, right? I mean, you're leaving this issue in the hands of the very people who caused the issue, caused these partisan gerrymandered districts to favor one party or another. Currently, there are many, many more that have been done to favor Republicans than Democrats. But on the other hand, I mean, there is always a level of partisanship in district drawing. That's part of the spoils of winning an election. If you are in control of your state house, that is one of the things that is left up to you. And that is essentially what gave the court its ability to, as Judge Gertner said, duck this and say, look, that's for the legislature to do. We feel like we're overstepping our bounds as a court coming into this. So we'll have to see. There are a number of things that could happen. We could see state laws passed to try to address this, voter referendums. We'll have to see how that shakes out.
Or okay. Independent commissions.
Right.
They say were talking some more about that, Judge.
But they were talking about an independent commission that they can't mandate that. They're saying that this is not a problem for which there isn't a cure. And so that one possibility is state legislature, one is voter referendum, one is an independent commission. But the problem is, how do you make a commission independent of the very politics that caused it? Voter referendum, that's a possibility. So the cure here is unclear. You're right. It is the spoils of an election to determine, you know, the map reflects the spoils of an election. These were cases in which the allegation was this was too far. This was so far that votes were essentially not being counted, that essentially by purging a district of all the Democrats in one case, or many of the Democrats, purging another of many of the Republicans, you were undermining their vote. And the constitutional law says one man, one vote. So the difficulty that they had was what comprises too far. Politics can enter into the map.
And they basically said, we don't want to be the judges of what's too far.
Right, that's right.
And can state courts be the judges of what's too far, or does this take it out of the courts entirely and say this is caused by politics and has to be adjudicated in the world of politics?
A state court having its own rules and its own constitution could determine that this is justiciable. I'm going to ask you to say that backwards.
Yeah, I can't even say it forwards.
Right. But a state court could certainly do that, but it's not likely, given how fraught the issue is, that a state court would engage when the Supreme Court did not.
So, Kimberly, you've been watching this. You watch the arguments on some of these cases. Before we move on to census, are there any open questions left for you that are sort of niggling or troubling or that you think are going to have to be answered?
Well, I think it's going to be this tension between what is a racial gerrymander, which the Supreme Court has said pretty clearly is unconstitutional, and then what is a partisan gerrymander, which this court said that it can't consider. Now, the Venn diagram of racial and partisan gerrymanders have a lot of overlap. And so I wonder if we are going to see more cases where racial gerrymandering claims are made and states defend it by saying, oh, no, we didn't consider race. We just considered partisanship, which is perfectly fine. Or on the other hand, more litigation alleging racial gerrymandering where they would have alleged party gerrymandering. I think that's one thing that's going to play out in the lower courts.
Those are really serious questions, Judge Gertner. What's your thought?
Well, I mean, I think that what's going to happen is that most these, just what Kimberly said, which is these challenges will be packaged as a racial issue, and they won't be far from a racial issue if one believes that trying to undermine the Democratic vote means undermining the black vote, since the higher percentage of blacks vote for the Democrats. So it's going to be a question of what the facts are, what the rationale is. But you know, the racial gerrymandering remains in play. That's part of the Voting Rights Act. That's part of the 14th Amendment. How you prove that, it'll be an interesting question and an open question.
So, Kimberly, the court could have said, hey, all gerrymandering is fine. They didn't say that.
Right.
And they also didn't say, hey, we're going to have anything to do with determining what's fine and what's not. Does that mean that there is some middle ground for change here, at least in some states? Could there be meaningful reform on this issue over time?
I think that's possible. I mean, we'll have to see how that shakes out. But you're exactly right. There could the folks who were advocating that this should be held unconstitutional said today, among other things, it could have been worse. The court could have ruled that constitutionally political gerrymandering is fine. They didn't say that. They didn't touch it at all. And so it falls to the states really to come up with the solutions here.
So, Judge Gertner, let's go on. Let's talk about the other big ruling, which is the court's decision to block the Trump administration from adding a citizenship question to the 2020 U.S. Census. Now, they did so. They said so partly because of the arguments that the administration itself gave for including it. This was kind of complicated. So, Judge Gertner, what exactly did the court decide? And can the government ask the question or not?
The court did not say citizenship may never be in the census. They did not say it may never.
So they didn't say you can't.
They
ever
didn't
ask
say
the
you
question.
Can't. Right, which is what certainly some people wanted them to say. What they said was, in this situation, the reason advanced by the Commerce Secretary, which was that he said it was to he wanted this information to enable better implementation of the Voting Rights Act. They don't say it exactly, was a ruse, because it was clear from the moment he got into office he wanted to put in the citizenship question. In other words, there was enough evidence in the record to suggest that that wasn't his rationale.
So they were basically saying there could be rationale, there is rationale, and what he said the rationale was is not true.
Right. And the other thing was, which is interesting, you only have to be a nerd to find this interesting, which is meanwhile, all sorts of stuff was uncovered about what the real rationale for putting in the citizenship question was. A thumb drive from a political operative who was saying, we want to put in the citizenship question because we want to depress the Democratic representation, which is not a rationale. With respect to the census, the only rationale is accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike gerrymandering, right? This is where the only rationale is to count everyone in the United States.
You mean the only acceptable rationale.
The only acceptable rationale, right. And so what happened when they found this thumb... So this thumb drive was found that reflected a desire to use the census to depress Democratic Democratic participation, Democratic counting, because the whole idea is that if you put a citizenship question in, households that have undocumented aliens will not want to participate in the census. And those households are more likely to be Democratic households, and you will therefore undercount the Democratic households. And there was a whole bunch of efforts to get that into the record. But what happens is that once a case gets to the Supreme Court, as already argued, the record can't be expanded.
And just to clarify for listeners, this was a hard drive of a Republican strategist named Thomas Hoffler that was discovered by his daughter after he passed away, and that was reported to essentially show that the question was concocted to hide a racially and politically.
And a politically motivated, yeah. That's right. And what the court did is to say, we're going to remand, which is we're going to send it back to the Commerce Department to see if they have essentially to come up with a lawful rationale for what they did that is supported by the record.
So, Kimberly, you were at the arguments for the census case. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is it your sense that that kind of information, which my understanding is now could be introduced because there's going to be a new process,
right.
Is it your sense that that would have had impact? And do you think it's important that that can be considered now?
Oh,
yes,
cool.
I think it absolutely had an impact. I mean, walking there, it's very rare that you can come out of an argument and really have a good sense of how the court is going to rule, because a lot of times the justices will play devil's advocate and ask questions just to test their own thoughts about it, even if it seems like they're leaning on one side or the other. We walked out of that argument thinking the government won here, that this is a pretty clear slam dunk case. It's going to be a 5-4 ruling with the conservatives on the side of the government.
So were you surprised?
Yes. Then this information came out, which made its way into the decision, and that made the difference. It seemed like that is the basis for the liberal justices to get the Chief Justice, John Roberts, on their side as sort of a compromise, which, as Judge Gertner said, sent it back to remand to give the Trump administration another shot at coming up with a reason. So it's not a complete loss, but it was enough to get the Chief Justice on board to their side. I think it made all the difference.
And so what's
interesting was sort of is that while this evidence, that thumb drive and all of that was not formally before the court, it clearly had an impact. There's a wonderful quote from Roberts saying that while they have to defer to an agency's statement of its own reasons, we are, quote, not required to exhibit a naivete from which ordinary citizens are free. And what he's saying is, you know, hey, there's a whole drumbeat here that things are not as they seem. We will send it back. We're not about to say that this was legitimate when there's enough out there to suggest that it was not. But in this case, delay may be the entire game, which is that if the question is not allowed in the census, you know, shortly, the government said by the end of June, it will not make it into the 2020 census.
So, Kimberly, to Judge Gertner's point just now about delay and the end of June, because we're at the end of June this week, it should be noted that President Trump responded to the ruling on Twitter this afternoon, and he said that he's going to ask the government's lawyers if they can find a way to delay the census for as long as possible. What are your reactions to that?
Yeah, well, of course he is. I mean, that's going to be to his advantage. The longer that you wait, so long as they're able to, in his interest, to include this question and create less time for there to be a subsequent challenge or more time for the Commerce Department to come up with another reason, that's in his interest to do. Of course, that's not what advocates or many state officials want. They want to move quickly just to make sure that they can get the count done accurately and do all the things they need to do to prepare.
Kimberly, speaking of state officials, you spoke with Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin about this. He's in charge of administering the census here in the Commonwealth. What did he have to say?
Yes. So he said that while he agreed with the challengers here that this citizenship question really was made as a way to sabotage the question and depress participation, at this point his main concern is time and getting these forms printed so that it can ensure that there is an accurate count. Let's listen.
Anybody looking at it would say, what's more important, the count or this question? And I think clearly the count is what's important. So delay that would endanger the count, I think, would be a real problem. So I'm hoping that the Bureau goes ahead, prints the forms, and distributes them.
So President Trump, Judge Gertner is saying delay, delay. And Secretary Galvin is saying, no way, we got to get this going.
Right.
Is a delay possible even?
If they try to delay, there will be a whole other round of litigation, I predict. And the litigation will be, you are delaying for the purpose of getting in a question which the Supreme Court said may be problematic. In other words, if you got this before a judge, even the delay for the purpose of getting in a decision, a question that may be problematic, the delay may itself be problematic then. I mean, it will be another round of litigation. I tend to doubt if he can do it.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. So I want to shift gears because in just a minute, we're going to start diving into last night's Democratic primary debate. Kimberly, in 2016, the Republicans were very open about the Supreme Court being a major piece of their strategy. We didn't hear much about the Supreme Court last night. So very quickly, what did you make of the little we heard last night? And what might you be looking for on that subject tonight?
Frankly, I found it shocking. I mean, there was a direct question asked to Mayor de Blasio about the U.S. Supreme Court, and he didn't answer it. He started talking about police shootings and other things that are important. But as you said, Republicans have made this a cornerstone of their message for years, and it paid off. It's one reason why evangelicals support President Trump so strongly, despite all the personal foibles that we have seen from him. The Democrats have not been able to make the case to voters why it is equally as important. And we see cases like today, they show us exactly why it is.
All right. Retired federal judge Nancy Gertner, who is now a lecturer at Harvard Law School and WBUR's legal analyst. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And we were just hearing from Kimberly Atkins, the WBUR senior news correspondent. Kimberly, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
So stay with us. Coming up, we are going to look at last night's Democratic primary debate, and we're going to take your calls. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.